So we're going to look at a sugi here on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, and it starts with Omer of Ashi. Now this Omer of Ashi, you'll see about four lines up from the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and he's commenting on the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara had a discussion about how many judges you need for pshara. So let's write down the word pshara to make sure we have that, because that's the subject of our discussion today. Pshara. Okay? Now pshara is loosely, you know, translated as mediation or compromise. But as we'll see today, Mitzvah Shem, pshara is really a halachic concept, a very complicated and specific halachic concept that has requirements. And in our case, we want to know how many judges have to sit on a panel, on a Beis Din, in order to set up a pshara. And the Gemara had quoted a number of different shitos before. Rabbi Meir's shita was that pshara needs three judges, just like din. And this is based on a hekesh, an equation between pshar and din. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, says that din requires shlosha, but pshara only requires shnayim, two judges. And the Gemara says that the Rabbanon actually have another opinion, and they go as far as to say that in a case of pshara, as we'll soon see, the litigants are absolutely committed to the final decision of the poshrit. Poshrit means those who are in charge of issuing the pshara. So again, we're going to have two issues today that we're going to deal with, and maybe even more than two issues. Number one, how many judges are needed to make up a court for a pshara? Number two, does the decision of the poshrit, of those who are in charge of the pshara, is that an absolutely binding decision such that the litigants can no longer decide, well, you know, it doesn't look like it's going exactly the way that I'd hoped, and therefore I want out of this. So Rav Ashi points out the following. Shma midna, from this sugi we see that pshara eina tzricha kenyan, meaning the litigants don't have to actually enter into some sort of a transaction in which they commit themselves to the pshara in order for the pshara to be valid, but rather the dayanim issue a ruling, and that ruling is binding, regardless of whether or not there was a formal kinyan, some sort of a transaction in which the litigants committed themselves to pshara. The isal kedaita, if you argue from the opposite opinion, that namely tzricha kinyan, that pshara is only binding, it's only valid halachically because there was a kinyan, then lamandi omer tzricha tlasa. Why is one man diomer, that's Rabbi Meir, who says that you need three judges for a pshara? Lovely, why do I need three judges? Tizgay, it should be enough, betray with two judges. Vilikneminei, since we're going to make a kinyan, and the kinyan is binding, any kinyan that a person makes is binding. If a person says, I will give you $1,000 as a gift, and he makes a binding kinyan, then he has to be good for his word. So if two judges were chosen for a compromised litigation of a pshara, and there was a kinyan made by the litigants, then why shouldn't that be valid? And the answer must be that there's no such thing as kinyan in pshara. That pshara can be imposed upon the litigants, even against their will, even without a kinyan, even though they didn't have some sort of a free-willed commitment to make this kinyan. Now, Tosus says the following. There's a long discussion in Tosfos. I'm going to just summarize one or two points that are critical. And he says the following. You know what? Why is this kinyan binding? So if you take a look at the page that I copied for you, you'll see it should say on the top right page, Ayin Dalid. And we're looking at the bottom right column. And after the bold print, which is the Gemara that we just did, he quotes Tosfos, the Hodlo Sagi Betray, Now, you might ask the following question. If Rav Ashi is correct that you don't need a kinyan for pshara, then fine. If you don't need a kinyan for pshara, then you have to know how many judges make up a court that validates pshara. But if, on the other hand, there's a possibility, and we're going to see that's the final conclusion of the Gemara, that pshara does need a kinyan, which is going to be, you see the next line in the Gemara, which is almost at the end of the page, it says pshara tzricha kinyan, hilchus of pshara tzricha kinyan. So with all due respect to Rav Ashi, the Gemara's final conclusion is that pshara requires kinyan. Now, if pshara requires kinyan, then why should there be a debate about whether two judges are sufficient for a pshara, whether you require three judges? What difference does it make? If the litigants made a kinyan, they made a schaibus, that schaibus is absolutely binding, no matter how many judges there are. They gave it over to the judges, recognizing their ability, the ability of the judge to make a decision, to institute a pshara. That pshara should be valid by virtue of the kinyan. What are the objective requirements of a pshara if it's a kinyan? If it's a kinyan, then there's, as we said before, a hischaivus on the part of the litigants. Why do I have this formal bezdin with requirements of three judges according to Rabbi Meir, maybe two judges according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Forget about all that. There's a kinyan. Kinyan, I want to make this point absolutely clear. Kinyan should obviate the entire need for a mishpat, for a bezdin, for any formal technical requirements about how many judges you have. So therefore, Tosfos says, if in the final maskana, pshara tzricha kinyan, that there's no such thing as pshara without kinyan, then once you have the kinyan, why get involved and decide with very strict restrictions how many judges you need? The kinyan is itself a machayev. If both litigants agreed to recognize a third party to make this mediation, then once they sign the kinyan, it's binding. So Tosfos therefore answers that there's something called a kinyan bitos. Do you see that? A kinyan bitos. So if you like to underline things, that's a good thing to underline. Kinyan bitos. When a person enters into a kinyan, any kinyan, he does so with a certain assumption. And if that assumption turns to be incorrect, and that was the basis of his decision, then although he made a kinyan, the kinyan itself is not binding. So every kinyan has a certain built-in condition to it. And what we do is we try to analyze and try to investigate what were the assumptions of the people who entered into this kinyan. To what extent did they assume that X is absolutely critical? And even if they didn't form the kinyan, they didn't formulate the condition verbally or explicitly, it's an implicit kinyan. I'm sorry, it's an implicit condition. I'll give you an example. The Gemara has in the Masechta Kiddushin a person who sold his property because he intended to pack up his bags and move to another country. And then his plans fell through. So the Gemara says that he can back out of the kinyan. Why? Because we have something called an anan sadi. We have circumstantial evidence that indicates what was the condition that under which he entered into this kinyan. So Tos says the following, that it's true that pshara needs a kinyan. But that kinyan is not absolutely binding. It has an implicit condition in it. When a person makes that decision to go to pshara, he does so with a certain assumption, in a sense a certain condition, and that is that the judges that were chosen were reliable judges. In Tosfos's language, he calls them bikiyim. And bikiyim in what? I mean, pshara is not the same as din. The answer is they have to be bikiyim b'pshara. The assumption of those litigants when they entered into this kinyan was that these judges are bikiyim bipshara. Now that becomes already an objective category. Bikiyim bipshara, and experts in pshara, it means they have experience, they have knowledge, they've been ordained, they have recognition. You might create an entire, let's say, CV, you know, a list of qualifications for somebody to be considered a baki b'pshara. And again, my friends, what we're seeing here is that pshara is not just what you and I think it is. You know, let them, you know, the judges just decided, hey, you know, flip a coin, let him get 50%, let him get 50%. No. Pshara is an objective pshara that's determined by din. Again, it's not going to be strict din.
Not a compromise.
Yeah, it's not what we would call a compromise. You know, sometimes you go for a compromise. What do you say?
It's a judgment.
It's a judgment. And if it's a judgment, you need bikiyum in judgment. Now, what happens is, the halacha now takes over and sets up objective standards according to Jewish law for what kind of a bezdin can serve and function as pshara, to create that pshara, which is halachically binding. And those conditions and those regulations might affect, number one, the nature of the judges who are sitting on this pshara, meaning, who are they? Do they have bikiyus? Have they been validated and recognized? There are other issues about how many judges have to sit on that court. So Tosfos is now going to assume that according to Rabbi Meir, when the kinyan was made, the assumption was that the ultimate pshara that's going to be ruled upon will be handed down by a Beis Din. And a Beis Din requires three judges. Hence, we have a hekesh, if you recall, between pshara and din. Just like in din, we need a Beis Din made up of how many judges? Three. So too in pshara, we need a Beis Din that's made up of three. He made a kinyan. The answer is that kinyan has an implicit condition in it. And that implicit condition is that it's that the pshara is going to be effectuated by a recognized Beis Din, not by something or somebody off the street who's just going to say, well, let's make a compromise. So that's the sheet of Tosfos. Namely, that even though they made a kinyan, and pshara is only valid if the litigants made a kinyan, but nevertheless, there is something called a kinyan mitos, and unless that pshara was implemented and handed down as a ruling of a Beis Din, it's not going to be valid. It's going to be a kinyan mitos. So everybody should underline the phrase kinyan mitos. Now, one of the great commentaries on Choshen Mishpat, on monetary law, is the Shar HaMishpat. He lived almost 2.5 centuries ago, and he writes that, I don't understand the sugya. He says, I have three major questions on the sugya. Let's go through his three questions one by one and see his radical, revolutionary answer to these three questions. The first question he asks is the following. The Gemara tells us that the logic of Rabbi Meir in requiring three judges for a pshara is the hekesh, right? Makshina and pshara l'din. There's a hekesh between pshara and din. In a previous discussion, well, I'm not going to go over that today, we had a machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos, exactly where that hekesh is. Is it in Shmuel Aleph? Is it in Zechariah? There are different psukim in the Torah that seem to indicate both pshara and din as contiguous one to the other, and therefore makshina and pshara l'din. Now, if this be the case, and Rabbi Meir is based on a hekesh between pshara l'din, so then we might ask the following question: how many judges do we need for din? And under what circumstances can those judges issue a ruling that's absolutely halachically binding? And then we're going to jump to pshara. Pshara is going to be a spin-off, if you will, a nilmad from din. So he says the following. Im kain, if this be true, l'Rabbi Meir al-Kochach tzorach lo desvir le di af bedin lo mahani kinyin lo dun b'fnei shnayim. Now Rabbi Meir would say the following. Again, we said according to Rabbi Meir, what's the minimum number of judges per pshara? Three. And how does he learn it? How does he derive it? From the Hekesh to Mishpat. That just like in Din you require three judges, so to pshara you require three judges. Now let's say there were only two judges. So even if the parties, even if the litigants entered into a kinyan relationship for these two judges, nevertheless it would be invalid. Why? Because the kinyan is only for an objective Bezdin that's legally binding and has the status of a Bezdin. Well, what about in the... Right, so how about two judges? Two judges wouldn't be valid. They're not valid in Din. Ipso facto, they're not valid in Pshar, which is derived from Din, based on the Hekesh. Now, in the case of two judges, presumably there was a Kenyan. Because again, we're talking about a Pshar. A Pshar requires a Kenyan. Even if there were three judges, it wouldn't be a binding Pshar unless you had Kenyan. Because Hilchasa, the Gemara's conclusion is, Pshara Tzricha Kenyan. No, Pshara Tzricha Kenyan. Then Rabbi Meir is saying, despite the fact that there was a Kenyan, but there were only two judges, we have a Hekesh between Pshara and Din, and that sets up the bar, the minimum requirement of judges is going to be three. If that be the case, Af B'Din Lo Mahani Kenyan Lodin B'Fnei Shnayim. Please underline those words. These are really breakthrough words of the Shara Mishpat. He's saying the following: what would happen if it was a din, right? But it was a din that was agreed upon by the litigants to be taken in front of two judges, and the agreement was clinched with a Kenyan. So two litigants enter into a Kenyan relationship to recognize the power of a Beis Din of Shnayim. Would it work or would it not work? It wouldn't work because Tos is operating with the concept of Kenyan B'Tos. Kenyan B'Tos means that the Kenyan is only made on the condition that it be that the ruling would be handed down by a valid, halachically, legally valid, recognized Beis Din. And now we're holding that a legally recognized Beis Din requires three judges and not two judges. So forget Pshara for a moment. Let's just talk about Din. Two litigants got together. They made an agreement that two judges would determine, would litigate between them, the two of them, and determine the final ruling. And not only did they agree that two judges would do so, they even made a Kenyan. But now we're saying that a Kenyan is only predicated on a Mishpat, meaning on a Beis Din, and a Beis Din requires three judges. So even if the agreement between the two litigants was an agreement of Din, in other words, they want to know the final law, they don't want any compromise, there's no room for flexibility here. They went to two judges, and they signed a document, the two of them together, both are signed, that these two judges are going to issue a din. According to this Hekesh, the reason why in Pshara the Kenyan would not be valid on two judges for Pshara is because of the equation to din. Well, then Pshara is a spin-off of din. Why don't we go back to the original? Says the Shara Mishpat, what the Gemara should now address here is what's the law in the case of Din, not in Pshara, when the two litigants sign the contract with the Kenyan in front of two, let's say, authorizing two judges to litigate, to adjudicate in their case. Well, guess what? It would not be valid, despite the Kenyan, because Mishpat needs three judges. So the root of this argument about two judges versus three is not in Pshara. Pshara is just a repercussion. It's an application. I call it a spin-off of the original Machlokas, which should be in Din. It's very odd, therefore, that the Gemara records a Braisa in which is going to be a Machlokas about two judges in Pshara. Why should the Braisa record a Machlokas about two judges in Pshara? The same Machlokas would have to apply to Din, because the whole Din of Pshara is determined by Din as a result of the Sekej. So again, if you underline those words, we'll read them again. He says, "The Af B'Din, even in the case of Din, Lo Mahani Kenyan, there would be no validity to a Kenyan, Ladun B'Fnei Shayim. Even if they signed a document with a Kenyan, you know, they did a Kenyan Sudar, that these two judges will hand down a Din, it's not valid. Why? Because of the concept of the Kenyan B'Tos. Kenyan B'Tos means that the Kenyan was made on the condition that it would be judged in a fair court. A court that's recognized by the Halacha. And the court recognized by Halacha, according to the Rabbanon, is a court that's made up of three judges. Or, alternatively, a court that's made up of two judges, if you go like Rav Shimon Gamliel. In Gain Liflegu, why didn't they have this argument B'Din Gufa, in Din itself? Anytime you encounter machlokas about pshara, you assume, and it's a valid assumption, that the machlokas is in pshara, but only in pshara. Otherwise, why argue about pshara? Just argue about din. V'lo mahani kinyan lodum b'fnei shnayim. If shnayim is not a valid beis din, then kinyan itself, even in the case of din, would not authorize the two judges to issue a binding ruling. And that's called liflugu bidin gufa. They should have had this argument in din itself. Why not go back to the original source? Right? Because in most cases we have din. So let's go back to din. Okay, that's going to be question number one. Now I'm fast forwarding a little because we have to keep to the clock here. He says, Ube'emes afilu neima, even if we assume the Rabbi Meir Sfirle Dibidin Lomahani Kinyan Lodun Bifnei Shnayim, Mi Komakom Hodalomahani Kinyan Lubishara Betray, Lo Avi Mifshum Dimakshinan Psharlidin, Ki Im Misvara Davi Kinyan Betos. Even if I will grant you that according to Rabbi Meir, in Din, there would not be a valid psak, a ruling of two judges. That would not be recognized as valid, even in event they made a kinyan. But if you ask me why in the case of pshara would such a kinyan not be valid, the answer is because of Tos. Tosa says that the reason why, despite the fact that the two litigants agreed with the kinyan to take their arbitration, their pshara, in front of two judges, it's not valid, is because of Tos. So what do I need makshinan pshara ledin? Forget about makshinan pshara ledin. The logic of invalidating two judges, which we're going to do in the case of Din, is inherently logical and applicable to the case of Pshara. And that Tos is the identical Tos. So why do you need Makshina and Pshara Lidin? Let's say Pshara will cut the umbilical cord, floats on its own. Okay, but they made a Kinyan for a Pshara in front of two judges. That Kinyan is not binding, it's a Kinyan B'Tos. The reason why Rabbi Meir requires three judges for Pshas Mishum, the Gemara says, because Makshinan, Pshar Ledin, Dalmiyachi, so to speak. I can leave that out. We can just simply say that two judges would not be sufficient for Pshara, according to Rabbi Meir, because it would be a Kinyan B'Tos. Why do we need the hekesh between Pshar Ledin to generate this psul, if you will, that two judges could not be a valid Pshar? I don't need the hekesh to Din. I can derive it from the compelling logic of Pshara itself, that Pshara, even if there's a Kinyan, it would be a Kinyan B'Tos. So that's question number two. So let's just review the two questions that we have of the Shara Mishpat. Question number one is, why did the Gemara present a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the case of Pshara, when the same machlokas will apply in the case of Din? Namely, that even if the two litigants would enter into a contractual agreement, a kinyan of accepting two judges in Din, it would not be valid if you hold that judgment requires three judges. And the second question we're asking is, why does the Gemara need, in explaining Rabbi Meir, Makshinan Pshara Ledin? Dalmiyachi, leave out Makshinan Pshara Ledin. Even in Pshara alone, there's a compelling logic to exclude the case where they made a Kinyan on two Dayanim because of the principle of Kinyan B'Tos. The Od Kasha, on the last line on the right column, this is the third question of the Shar. HaMishpah. My plea, Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim, im pshara chashiv kinyan b'tos olo. We're saying now that according to the Chachamim, if the litigants agreed to take their litigation in front of a posher, even if it's one judge, the Chachamim say that's valid. and we don't apply the principle of kinyan b'toz, and the validity of that pshara is machayev the litigants. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, no, we're going to introduce the halacha of kinyan b'toz, and therefore we're going to require no less than three judges for pshara. What is the machlokas all about? I mean, either there is a toz or there's not a toz. It's very rare that the Gemara presents a machlokas, is it a toz or not a toz? We know there's certain objective confusions, or points of confusion that create a toz. Oh, I said there were three questions. Actually, I made a mistake. There were four questions. So it's like, let's say they're fine. The od hiksha shara mishpat. What about Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Shimon Gamliel says that pshara is greater than din, because in the case of din, you need three judges, and less than three judges just won't do it. But in the case of pshara, shnayim shedanu bali dinim yicholim lachzor b'hem, u'shnayim shasu pshara ein bali dinim yicholim lachzor b'hem. In the case of din, the bali dinim can decide that they don't want this judgment if the judgment was implemented by two judges and not three judges. But in the case of pshara, the Bali Dinim, just one second. So let me read this again. Yafa koch pshara mikoch adin. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, pshara exceeds din. It supersedes din. In what sense? That shnayim shedanu, in the case of din, the Bali Dinim could say, I'm out of here. I don't want this ruling. I don't want to accept this ruling. This ruling was of a basin of two judges. That's not a valid ruling. You cannot impose and compel me to accept that ruling. But Shnaim Shasu Pshara, if two judges made a Pshara, Ein Bali Dinim Yichom Lachsabahem. The Bali Dinim are absolutely committed to that Pshara. That Pshara is absolutely binding. Habidin Ke'ein Pshara, Bekanu miyado, vaday dienu yochol lachzor b'hem, ukmosh eni yochol lachzor mipshara. What's going on over here? The Gemara's final conclusion is that pshara tzricha kinyan. Well, pshara tzricha kinyan, then the Bali Dinim could not be chozer b'hem, even in the case of two judges. Why does Rav Shimon Gamliel say no? In the case of two judges, the Bali Dinim could say, we don't want this decision. We don't accept this decision. Why? Because there are only two judges. Well, if they made a kinyan, then that should certainly upgrade us to the level of pshara, where pshara, we said that if there was a kinyan, then it's binding. Well, the same thing should apply in the case of din. Why does he insist, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that Yafakach Pshar Mikach Din? If in both cases there was a kinyan, then they're all equal. I mean, the only difference between Pshar and Din is that Pshar must require a kinyan, and Din does not require a kinyan. But in the comparison between Pshar and Din, we're talking about a case where there was a kinyan, because Hilchasa Pshar Tzricha Kinyan. So now let's compare and contrast pshara to din. The man took upon himself, I mean the two men I should say, right, the litigants, to enter into an absolutely binding agreement that these two dayanim will determine their pshara. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, the pshara is binding because of the kinyan. So that's when pshara operates. And pshara is binding even if the kinyan was on two judges and not three judges. If that be the case, l'chor, we should apply the same yardstick to the case of din. That in a case of din, where the two litigants accepted two judges with a kinyan, then they're obligated to accept that decision, that ruling, because they themselves, by virtue of the kinyan, committed themselves to accept that ruling. So how does Rav Shimon Gamliel say, yafakach shara mikach din? And now we're up to the answer of the Shara Mishpat. And he reinterprets our sugya. We always assume that when we talk about a pshara, there are judges that are experts in pshara, and they're sitting around, so to speak, in the courtroom, waiting for litigants to come in and appoint them as their judges for pshara. No, that's not what we're talking about. This sugyan mairi, the case, the scenario is, in our sugya, that the Bali Dinim accepted the following bikinyan. They accepted that they will rely on a pshara, but exactly who's going to make that pshara, which dayanim, and how many dayanim are going to make that pshara, that was not specified in their agreement. They just agreed in a more generic sense, in an abstract sense, we will go to pshara and we'll accept pshara. But lo pirshu mi v'mi'a parshanim, which specific dayanim will be in charge of this pshara, v'kamayu, and how many parshanim there will be on this panel of pshara. D'b'kahai gavna mahani kinyan. In such a case, kinyan is valid. Notice they can no longer back down. It's absolutely binding, irreversible. Oh, now, bazeh pligi Rabbi Meir v'chacham. Rabbi Meir sover bitzua, which is another word for pshara bishlosha. Dinehi de kiblu b'kinyan lismoch ala pshara. But nevertheless, makshinan pshara ledin. We have a hekish between pshara and din. And therefore, to the same extent, ki hechi dibedin hitzricha Torah gimel dayanim, the Torah required a minimum of three judges for din. Hu adin, the same applies to pshara. Dibeinon gimel, we need three judges. Dipshara hainu din. In other words, we have this hekesh that whenever you see certain requirements in din, then we apply them to pshara as well. Umemela, ki hechi de bedin im echad misarev yecholim kol agimel dayanim lachuf anitpa lamod bedin. If there's a bona fide bezna made up of three judges, they could impose their will and compel the litigant to show up in court. If the litigant refuses to show up in court, then we'll find another way of judging this case, but we will judge the case without him. Is who I did with pshara, the same logic and the same rules are going to apply in pshara. And what does that mean? Im a nitba misarev, the nitba says, he's the defendant, he rejects the court and refuses to show up in the court. Is yecholim, kol, gimel, all these three dayanim have the power to force him to show up in din, or maybe to issue a ruling in absentia. But he says, that's because these three judges are bekir, bipshara. They're experts on pshara, with a lot of experience in pshara. So once these three judges are bekir and pshara, that upgrades the status of this bezdin lipshara to the state of im hanitba misarev yecholim lachuf hanitba lefasher b'neiah. If the defendant refuses to accept a pshara, we can force him to accept the pshara. Chachamim svirle, on the other hand, the chachamim, pshara biyachid, that there's a possibility of pshara with one judge, the lomak shinim pshara ledin, the chacham didn't accept this hekesh b'shim pshara ledin, and therefore sagi b'chad debaki b'pshara. You have one expert in pshara, he's enough. V'yachol gam kein lachuf hamasarev, and this one single baki b'pshara, according to the chacham, has the power to impose the will of the dayan onto the baldin. And if the person, let's call him Reuven, refuses to accept this pshara, then the pshara is still binding, even against his will. And why is that? Because the chachamim hold that pshara could be instituted by a yachid, by one single judge, even though for Dini Mominus in general, we need three judges. But in the case of Pshara, all we need is one judge. And that's based on Lo Makshinan Pshara Lidin. So the Chacham's favorite reference, Pshara stands on its own. V'sagi v'chad. One judge is enough. And he himself can force his decision and impose them upon the Bali Dina. K'mo Yachin Mumche. That one judge for Pshara, who's a Baki B'Pshara, has the same status as a Yachid Mumche with regard to Din. You may recall that back on Daf, on Daf Heyamid Aleph, we came to the conclusion that if you have one judge who's an absolute Mumche, that he could judge on his own. So we do have a precedent for one judge being valid. If we extend that to the case of Pshara, is then we don't need mumchin, we need experts, but we don't need a smicha for that. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, Bechad Sagi, one judge would be enough. Oh. Lefi zelo kasha kushas atosvis, di'i boi kinyin, lomali talsa, lirabi meir. Why do we need three judges according to Rabbi Meir if there was already a Kenyan? And this is going to force Tosfos to the position of Kenyan B'Toz. Dovashas Kenyan, Lo Pirish Kama Parshanim, V'lochein Matzuch Tlosa. Since in this Kenyan they didn't mention the exact number of judges, therefore we're going to require Tlosa. Kimo Gabi Din. Why? Because in a case of Pshara, Pshara becomes like Din, and the Kenyan of Pshara now is on a vague, you know, undefined number of judges. And since they didn't define the number of judges, then we'll make the decision based on Din. So then, in a case of Kenyan, so what's going to be, Tosa says, why do we need three judges? And the answer is because that Kenyan is a Kenyan for a Pshara, and that Pshara has to reach the same standards as Din, because Pshara equals Din, and that's based on the Hekesh. So that's as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned. Ubazel asi shapir, after Reb Shimon Gamliel, diyom yofakoch pshar mikoch din, tu nami mayri b'kai gavna, u'mayri shedonu b'kfiya, that they judged against the will of one of the litigants, v'lachein b'din, yecholim lachzar. If it was a case of din, not pshara, then the litigants have the right to reject that verdict. Dishnaim shedonu ein dineim din. Because since the court was made up of only two judges, then the litigants have a right to back down, and they could say, we don't want it. Avol b'pshar kevin shekiblu kinyan mikodem lismoch al apshara. Since in the case of pshara, the litigants accepted upon themselves with a kinyan to rely and accept the pshara, lachem im achakach echad misarev. If one of the two litigants decides that, you know, he changed his mind, you know, he got second wind, second thought, and he doesn't want to recognize the pshara, is imachakach echad misarev is kol shnayim shedanu b'pshara al yidei kfiya dinam din v'einam yicholim lachzar b'hem b'pshara lo be'inan tlosa. So now Rav Shimon Gamliel makes a lot of sense. Why? Because he's saying that Pshara exceeds or supersedes Din. Because let's say, for example, that in the case of Kfiya, meaning against the will, here's where the difference lies between Pshara and Din. But Din Yecholim Lachzar. Why in the case of Din can the litigants check out and decide we don't want to accept this? Is because Shnaim Shedanu Ein Dineim Din. that two judges do not have the power and the authority to decide a ruling. Aval b'pshara, in a case of pshara, it's a little bit different. Why? Because there was a Kabbalah's kinyan to be somech on the pshara. Is therefore, even if one of the litigants wants to back out of the deal, and he wants to say that you have no right to force me, the answer is you do have the right to force him, because the status of this pshara has been clinched and validated. So let's just summarize the answer of the Shaar HaMishpat. The Shaar HaMishpat wants to suggest that in our sugya, although the Bali Dinim accepted an agreement bekinyan, but that agreement was much more vague. It was an agreement for pshara, but what is this? You know, had to hammer out the details of pshara. Who's going to be on this base, and how many people we need on this base? And that wasn't included in the Kabbalah's kinyan. And here's where we have machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir holds that even though they were makabel on themselves with a kinyan to be somek to rely on a pshara, we have a hekesh between pshara and din. And just like in the case of din, the Torah requires three judges. And so too, in the case of pshara, we're going to require three judges by virtue of the hekesh. So again, you'll ask me, but you know, there's a Kabbalah's kinyan. Yeah, but the Kabbalah's kinyan wasn't on a number of judges. So for that, we need the hekesh. So we have now a partnership, what the Israelis called a shituf pula, if you're familiar with that phrase, between his Kabbalah and the din of pshara. And what's going to be the give and take over here? He's going to say the following, that since we have halacha of kinyan, that pshara needs a kinyan, we're going to need that element of kinyan in the equation, because in the absence of kinyan, there won't be a pshara. Okay, fine. So now, what is the pshara? And here's where Rabbi Meir introduces the hekesh between pshara and din. That hekesh is going to establish that pshara has the same requirements as din. And therefore, just to the same extent that in dini momenos, in din itself, we have to rely on three judges, so too in pshara, we have to rely on three judges. So now, my friends, before we go on, because I see that we're running out of time, I would like to give a little bit of an introduction to the next piece, and we're going to try, Belineta, tomorrow to integrate the next piece with the piece that we learned today. And if you'll take a look at the bottom left of page Ayin Dalet, you'll see that Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch both write that in the case of pshara, we need a unanimous decision. Again, in the case of din, all we need is rov. So let's say there are three judges, we need that two out of the three will agree to the final verdict. But in the case of pshara, Tosfos says, and the Shulchan Aruch codifies this, we need shiaskimu kulo, that all the judges at the pshara will agree to one pshara. But basically, what happens in the case of pshara, the judges sort of iron it out. You know, one says maybe we do this pshara, the other says that pshara, until they finally come to a consensus and an agreement as to what the pshara would be. But that means we need a unanimous decision. Now this is going to be very difficult based on Rav Yoshia. Rav Yoshia says that the reason why we require a Bezdin of Shlosha is because three times in the parish of Mishpatim it says Elohim, and three times Elohim equals three judges. Not everyone is going to agree, because we're going to have a sugya of Rabbi Yonasan. Now, I just want to point out that this sugya of Rabbi Yonasan is really here in the first parak of Sanhedrin. So you can look it over for tomorrow. Hopefully you'll be here with me tomorrow, and try to figure out exactly how that works, and why Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch, following in the footsteps of Tosfos, requires pshara to be a unanimous decision. Okay then? So we'll stop here, and I'll thank you for coming. Tomorrow, Bli Nedar, we'll make progress. Either you hold on to these pages, or you leave them for me, or we put them here in the closet, so you'll know where to get them tomorrow at 10:30. Any questions so far? Do we have all the questions of the Shabbat Mishpat? Can I test you on them and see if you know them all by heart? And the teretz of the Shabbat Mishpat, everything is crystal clear. Okay, have a great day.